Good morning once again. Well, welcome once again. Let's see, this morning we're going to be in Psalm 111. 111. Can't be Psalm 1 verse 11 because there is no verse 11. But it could be Psalm 111, but it's Psalm 111. Right. Well, let's pray and get into our study. Father, glorify you. Lord, thank you for your love and your grace, Lord, once again. Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, desiring to hear from you. Lord, thank you that you've given us your truth. Lord, these things that you've written down, Lord, for us to know. Lord, for us to live. Lord, for us to do. Lord, you have truly given us everything that pertains to life and godliness and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, Lord. And Lord, we come asking, Lord, to be taught by you once again. Lord, that our hearts would just continue to be filled up with your word, Lord, and your word would dwell there richly, Lord. So we love you, praise you, and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 10 verses, so we can read through and then get into the study. So praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and in uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Amen indeed. It's good to say amen at the end of that. So Psalm 111, those that like a little bit of background of the psalm, it is one of the ones that's called an acrostic psalm, which means that every verse line starts with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So the first line starts with Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all the way down to the 22nd line, which is the Tau, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And if your Bible doesn't break them up into the couplets and whatnot, just know that even though there's 10 verses, there's actually 22 lines. So the verse 1 is 2 couplets. So it has the Aleph and the Bet, and goes on like that. And verses 9 and 10, they have triplets because it's 3 lines. So that's how each verse starts. And you could even call this the ABCs of praise. So that would fit. Or maybe the Aleph, Bet, and I forget the next Hebrew letter of praise, whichever one you want. But starts with praise and ends with praise. And Psalms, what a wonderful book that God has given us to be able to go through, to find comfort, to find joy, to find rejoicing, to find just everything that we need, all contained right there. No matter how we're feeling, the Psalms will minister. So as we start with verse 1, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. We can see as it starts, praise ye the Lord is actually in command form. So the word praise there, given in the what's known as the imperative, which means it's a command. Praise ye the Lord. So it's not a suggestion, although many times maybe we read it like that or think of it that way, or maybe we don't even think about it when we read these verses. I don't know if you've ever been caught doing that. I have been many times caught just reading the words and not even thinking, considering, until the Lord catches my attention, which he did with this psalm. Praise ye the Lord. That's a command. What's your response? Now we see the psalmist's response here, David. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. So we can see here he declares this with determination and desire. God says, praise ye the Lord. David responds, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. It's not, I might do it if I feel like about it. I will consider it. Again, how do you read God's word? In the simple things. We could say, maybe this is just a simple command. Are we willing to read and receive it? When we sing worship songs, I surrender all. Do you mean it when you sing it? Or is it really in the back of your mind, well, I surrender some and maybe retain a little. Or even one of the songs this morning, I could sing of your love forever. Is that true in your heart? Or is it when I kind of feel like it, or maybe not, how do we take these things? And so, you know, you consider as David responds, I will, that determination, that desire, I will do that. So what are your determined desires, your I wills? You know, you think of whenever you're planning an activity that you desire to do, how much effort do you put into it? How much thought do you put into it? How much excitement goes into it? Planning that great trip or the great visit somewhere or whatever it happens to be. You can see just how easy it is that we can do these things and how much attention we can give to the things that we desire, the things that we want. You know, maybe some during Bible studies start planning what they're going to have for lunch, right? That wouldn't happen here, right? No one would ever. I would do that, but no one else would. But or planning on what that activity is that afternoon, or I've got to do this project afterwards. And you can start just planning. I mean, these things that we want. And we can make the mistake of, like, planning out of, you know, thinking of things in the future that might or might not come and missing what's right here and right now. What does God have for us right here, right now, in whatever circumstance that you find yourself or situation? And he says, with my whole heart, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And this is where the Lord really got my attention, however long ago it was, when I was in Psalm 111, and just had me start considering these things. Although the way the Lord works with me is really just asking these questions. So if you think these questions are directed to you, when I was putting this together, I wasn't thinking of anybody else. It was really the questions that were coming to me that I had to answer. And I do know that it's at least for one other person, because there's no temptation that's not common to man, right? So at least one other person out there has the same thoughts that go through my head and the temptations that come and the things that to do. So at least one other person it's for. That's one of the attacks I think the enemy likes to play on me is to, everybody already knows this stuff. You're just going to bring them stuff they know. They're going to be bored with what you have to say. And at least one other person has it. And if they don't, you know how to pray for me in the end, so I'll take that. But with our whole heart, if our praise isn't done, if it's not done with your whole heart, what do you call that? Because can that really be praise? If it's not with your whole heart, can you worship God with just part of your heart? A little bit? I don't think so. I don't think it's truly called praise if it's anything less than your whole heart. Could it be a lukewarm heart? Maybe. you're willing to only just give a partial bit of it? Or should we be giving all? Our whole heart? You know, do I get to pick and choose what I'll receive or not receive, what I'll do, what I'll not do? You know, is that up to me? Is my heart the dictator of what happens? And you know, is there indifference when it's not with your whole heart? Is there the sense of some sort of entitlement that it doesn't really matter? You know, I just deserve to get salvation, and God understands that I don't have to give my heart. Just all of these strange excuses that come to our own minds. So where is the other part of your heart going if you're not willing to give your whole heart in praise to God? And so as I came to this verse, I was thinking, why does David have to declare this? I mean, we know David, right? He was the writer of the Psalms. But yet he's still making this declaration, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. I think that's the importance. You know, what is praise? You know, we read that word, right? And that the Hebrew yada is to give thanks, to laud, to praise. I mean, it's that simple. A lot of times we attach it to song, and I think rightly so. But is our life a life of praise unto the Lord? I will with my whole heart, no matter the circumstance. So have you ever found yourself not wanting to give praise to God because of maybe sorrow or grief in your life? Or maybe something hard that you're going through? Maybe some sort of distraction? Maybe times of ease where you're not even thinking of the Lord, just happy-go-lucky and all life is good and everything I want and everything's nice happening to me and not even thinking? Or just the maybe hard times, hard to praise in hard times, and just not feeling it. Just not feeling it today, so no big deal. So all these things that come in to distract, and how important it is to make that declaration, no matter what the circumstance happens to be. You know, don't believe the lie that says, if you're not feeling it, it must not be genuine, so you don't have to do it. Might as well not do it at all. I say that's a lie. Because I will is always the right answer to a command that God gives. Doing it is always the right action to a command that God gives. With your whole heart is always the right attitude to the command God gives. And so when you recognize if your heart isn't there, do you just dismiss it? Like it doesn't matter? Or has God pinpointed something for you to take back to Him? If times are hard, then we do, Lord, I need help. You say to praise you, I'm finding it hard right now because I'm grieving over what happened. Or this situation that's so hard to even think about what's going on. Lord, I will. I want to. I need some help. Or maybe times of Lord, it says it, and I'm just not even thinking about it because I'm just so happy. But Lord, I need help in those times too. Lord, I need help. Or maybe you need to repent, right? Lord, it's wrong of me to not have a whole heart for you. That's wrong. Lord, will you forgive me? Lord, change my heart. Isn't that a prayer? Lord, search my heart and know me. He already knows. But how often do we deceive ourselves into thinking somehow differently? So if you recognize that, ask God for help. Repent. Isn't that the most beautiful thing that God has given us, that we can repent? Lord, I'm wrong. You're right. I turn from my way. Turn to your way. He's not there, like, waiting to beat you down. He's always there with the open arms when we turn. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, that we come to Him humbly. Lord, with that recognition, So what was the charge against the Israelites as they're going through the wilderness? God would say, you flatter me with your lips. You say you do these things, but with your heart, you're far from me. So there's lots of things, again, we can say, right? And the point isn't, I'll just do it because I have to do it. No, it's to recognize that you should do it, and it is right to do it. And if your heart's not there, you repent. You're going to listen to the lie of the enemy says that since your heart's not there, just don't do it? No, don't listen to that. Listen to the Lord. He's always right there. For me, how I needed such a verse, because I was partial at best, mostly uncaring about praise and worship. So after getting saved, and I was never much of a singer to begin with, but I always saw that first 30 minutes of throwaway time. I just want to get to the good stuff, because I love the study of the Word. Let's just go there, and I'd probably, if they allowed me to make suggestions, say, let's get rid of that first 30 minutes and just do the Word. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But yet, we would be sacrificing what God has called us to do. Why do we have time of worship and song? Well, because God says, praise ye the Lord. There's plenty of commands that talk about singing unto the Lord. Sing to the Lord. So it shouldn't be amiss in our lives to think it doesn't matter. Now, that was me. You know, I had all the excuses of why it didn't matter if I didn't sing unto the Lord. You know, singing wasn't my thing. I've shared with people before, maybe up here before, but did karaoke, or didn't really do it because they turned the microphone off one time. Another time, everyone erupted in laughter, and it wasn't supposed to be a joke. So I had that take it or leave it attitude, and it was really a leave it attitude. And one of the other excuses, I learned a new word last week. See if I can pronounce it right. Solfège, the solfège scale, solfège, something like that. Solfège? Yes, solfège. I had no idea what that means, and maybe some people don't know what that means either. But you'll be impressed. The do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, that's the solfège scale. Now for me, since noise wasn't on there, I figured I didn't have to worry about it. That's how I thought of it. But yet, the command is still there with my whole heart. Lord, change my heart. And it really took going through real hard times. That's all I could think of were songs I knew as a super young kid. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And just, Lord, I have nothing. And just in the pit of despair, and yet Him teaching me through that it is right to give Him praise. Doesn't matter how I sing. Doesn't matter how I feel about it. None of that matters. What matters is that He is worthy, and He says to do these things. So therefore, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And the temptation is always there that it doesn't matter. That's why I love this verse. I will. The declaration is so important. I will do it, regardless of how I feel. Because again, the temptation always there. So I will learn the songs. That'd be another excuse. Well, I don't know those songs. They didn't put the words up today, so I can't do it. Oh, yeah? Oh, why don't you learn them? Well, okay then. I will. Have them in your heart. So then when you're going out through the day, you have that song in your heart. Rejoice unto the Lord. Rejoice, for this is the day that the Lord has made. What a glorious day. Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, two verses probably or hopefully well known. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Find yourselves in hard times, rejoice in the Lord. Give him praise. He'll change your heart. I will with my whole heart. Again, this declaration, a true declaration response is very important. Protects us, I believe. It is a great form of protection. As we've been going through the book of Judges on Wednesdays, haven't got to the two chapters yet, but the two verses in the book of Judges that talks about how everyone was doing right in their own eyes. This declaration is very important to keep us from doing what is right in our own eyes, being self-deceived. Helps us from not, again, making all the excuses I would make and justify myself in them. And get other people to agree, oh yeah, that's not a big deal. But yet, when I come to God's word, I think it's a different story. That we wouldn't do what is right in our own eyes. It's right to read newspaper articles or on the phone or whatever while everyone else is singing, because I don't like to sing. It's right to be distracted in this or that. No, it's not right. Proverbs 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 21, 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And he knows our hearts. We'll have to try to hide from them, but yet just take his commands as simply as they are. And if the verse is here, David needed this verse too, the one who wrote it. Think of David growing up, watching the sheep, out in the fields, writing these psalms, many believe that as he rejoiced in the Lord, giving him praise. These things don't come natural. To do the commands of God, it's not like we just fall into these things naturally. Whenever you open your Bible, do you start getting drowsy? Do you start getting distracted? Do you start thinking of other things? Maybe that already happened and prevented you from even opening your Bible. Lord, I will with my whole heart because it's right and it's good. The Lord said of David that in 1 Kings, my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes. He did that which was right only in God's eyes. Not his own eyes, but in God's eyes. Did David fail in sin? Yeah. What did he do? He repented. Came back to the Lord. So we can't use David as an excuse that somehow he's greater than me. How could I ever be like a David? But the question that really comes from that is, are you a man or are you a woman after God's own heart? Is it only reserved for David to be that? Or is it for all of us? And we know the answer, right? It is for all of us, but again, that the excuses that we try to justify doing right in our own eyes, that we wouldn't come and make this excuse somehow that because I'm not doing much for the Lord, or I'm not doing anything for the Lord, it's because I'm not a David, or I'm not a Paul, or I'm not a whoever you like to fill in the blank with. I'm not like them, so that's why I'm not doing things like they are doing. But in the end, it's just this simple. If you're not doing anything or much of anything for the Lord, The answer is because you are not doing anything or much of anything for the Lord. It's that simple. What did David do? He praised. Is that where he started? Maybe. He was called to watch the sheep. I'll do that. Called to take food to his brothers. I'll do that. Stands for righteousness. Throws a rock at Goliath and fells Goliath. Called to lead Israel. Okay, I'll do that. Just each step of the way. Yes, Lord, I will. And then do it. And it is true. We're not like David, right? Because we're not David. He already lived. We're who God made us, right? And we can just answer that same call. I will do that. Whatever the Lord's called you to do, and walk in that. Regardless of any of the surrounding circumstances of it, but just to simply answer the Lord. I will do that next thing, and I'll do that next thing. And can we be faithful in the little things? And as God adds to that, and continue to live that faithful life unto Him, if you recognize that you're not a man or a woman after God's own heart, your next question is, why not? Again, where is that part of your heart going? Why is it not all for Him? What is the hindrance? Is there something that the Lord desires to identify that needs to go so that He has your whole heart? Is He not worth your whole heart? So God has given us a sound mind, right? Paul writes to Timothy, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." But what are you doing with that sound mind? How are you applying that? You know, God wrote in Isaiah 14, warns of Lucifer, who had all those I wills, right? He desired for his will to be his will to be enacted, right? So how are we living? Is it the same, my will is my will, or is my will God's will? And if God's will is, then what are we doing with that? So what if you simply receive, praise ye the Lord, as God's will for your life? Because in all reality it is, isn't it? If it's a command. So if God's will for you is to praise the Lord, what do you do with it? Can you answer, I will, with my whole heart? If you've never answered, hey, today's a great day to just simply just bend the knee. Lord, I will, with my whole heart, Lord. Lord, you know my heart has been partial. Lord, you know my heart maybe isn't in it. But Lord, you're the one who changes hearts. You're the one who can take a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. You're the one that can pour your word into my heart. And that would be what's coming out of my life. And don't take this as a, I'll do it later, I'll do it next time. One day I hope to get to that stage. One day I'll be like whoever. No, just start now. It's that simple. You don't have to make it complicated. I like to complicate things. Because that's my excuse not to continue in them, right? Find every excuse possible. So in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, as that verse ends, and really what this is speaking about is in private, so in the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation, public. So our life should be a life of praise in private. And it should be a life of praise in public. There should be no difference between the two. Again, if it's you're just doing it in public, but you're not doing it in private, well then most likely you're just putting on a show for somebody else, for whatever reason. You know, just a simple facade. Or if you're only doing it in private and you won't do it in public, well, what's holding you back? Is there embarrassment or shame or whatever's holding you back, you know, that's got to go. That who we are in private is who we really are, right? The importance of that praise in private. Because it should be that just natural outflow expression when we're all together. So we can apply, I believe, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in times of prayer, right? In times of devotion, in times of ministry, in times of fellowship, in times of family. And even when we go to work, maybe that job that you just don't like, and you find yourself complaining about it or murmuring about it, and boy, I can't wait for this to get over so I can get to my stuff. Just dreaming of my stuff later. Just got to make it through. So hard. Oh, and the boss told me to do something else. Oh, man. But I challenge you in this. If you go into whatever work that happens to be with, I will praise you, Lord, with my whole heart in this work today. I will do my work as unto you. I challenge you to find the murmuring and complaining that you can do with that heart and attitude as you go into that work. And use that opportunity at the time, instead of living for the future, not living for where you're at right then and there, to find where you can praise God in those things, where you can give him thanks for those things that he has for you. Regardless, you like the job, you don't like the job, it's hard, it's easy, doesn't matter. Lord, this is for you. Lord, help my heart. I don't like this job, but Lord, if you gave it to me, I'm in the right spot and I need to be using what you've given me for your praise and for your glory. Not for what I feel about it, but Lord, it's for you, for God's glory. His commands are not burdensome. Have you found one that's burdensome? So therefore, praise is not burdensome. Have you found praise to be burdensome? What I have found, what is truly burdensome, is my pride and my selfishness. That's truly what's burdensome. And then it affects everybody else around me too, when I'm living in that way. When my heart is just for me, not for the Lord. Not doing these things. That's where the true burden comes. So verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. The works of the Lord. I mean, can you even now just start recounting the works of the Lord and just thinking like, wow, that's amazing, the things that he's done. Creation itself, you could look at creation like, wow, that's truly amazing. You could dig into that. You could look at the work that was done on the cross. Isn't that amazing? These awesome works. Sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. How important that is, sought out. And the Hebrew word there, you know, has with it the idea of seeking with application, the study of this, to follow, to practice. So it's not just looking around casually, but wow, I want to find out more about that work that God did. Psalm 119 verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Colossians 3:1-2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So sought out the desire, the pleasure in these things. So don't be content with just Bible stories. Don't be content with just what someone says for an hour or so on a Sunday morning. Dig in. find these things out. It's these things are amazing. If you read a proverb a day, if you haven't learned this yet, you know, pay attention when these verses pop up. But in Proverbs, it declares that God's truth and wisdom are more precious than any jewel, ruby, riches the world has to offer. If you believe that, wouldn't you dig these things out? I mean, they're there for the taking. We can't go out in the backyard and find some rubies and jewels if that's what you're after. Maybe someone's yard has some rubies in it, but we have these things readily right here that we can dig out. You have pleasure in God's words. When you come across these things, like, wow, Lord, you love me so much that you gave this right here for me to be able to take and to do and to live by. We should be diligent in our study, right? Again, Paul writes to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing and doing God's word will rightly direct you in all your ways and all that you do. You know how important that is. You know, where do I get the idea that I should do my work as unto the Lord, regardless of my feelings about it? Well, right here. God has said that. Where do I get the idea that praising the Lord is important? Right here. If he says it, I'm going to believe that he finds it important. Therefore, I can make that declaration, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And where my heart is lacking, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. You deserve everything. Oh, this phrase has been repeated many times. God gave all, therefore, I should give all. He didn't hold back. What makes us think that it's okay for us to hold back? So when you think of the pleasures therein, you know, sought out of all them that have pleasures therein, I imagine you can think of many pleasures that you enjoy doing, right? I'm sure there's not one person here that couldn't think of, I really liked doing, and fill in the blank. So we can understand what it is to seek those pleasures out, right? Those things that we really like doing. The time and the effort, again, that is put into seeking those out because of the enjoyment we have in those things. So to what lengths do you go to seek those things out? Well, for what purpose do you seek things out? Is it to further self-pleasure or for the glory of God? You know, I grew up loving baseball, playing baseball. Grew up in the Cincinnati area, the Big Red Machine, if you know about that. And I could list off, and if I tried right now, I could probably still list off all the players. But it's not worth the time and effort anymore. But just the excitement. Oh, yeah, this guy did this and know the stats, and he had this many home runs. And just to have those ready, because I found pleasure in that. And knowing baseball and it, being excited about it. And then I get older and find out and how to make beer and pour myself into that. And I could, again, I'm not going to, but I could tell you how to do it. I mean, the memory's still there, but I poured into that and I could give you all this and that, and you gotta do all these different things because I found pleasure therein. Or going to school and you know, college and not you know, getting by so I could get the degree for the advancement, the idea that this is going to, you know, for the prestige of having this degree or doing this thing, and because it was all about me. Now, it is good to study, to seek things out, right? We learned something this morning that was fascinating from creation about isotropic, did I get that right? Isotropic joules? Or what are they?
Anisotropic.
Yeah. Yeah, joules. Yeah, just fascinating. God's creation, super fascinating. We find those things out. It's not to promote ourselves, but to see God's glory in these things. Like, wow, he created, the works of God's hand are so great and so awesome. We could dig deeper and deeper, and scientists certainly have, to see what's in a cell. And in those little cells, you have tiny little factories. In those tiny little factories, you have this and that, and you going down to the, you probably find even more if we could see that. You could go out to all the expanse and see all the amazing things, but it's all for God's glory. So maybe you are at school to learn a certain thing that you can use for God's glory, right? Whatever work that God's called you to, you should learn whatever that work is so that you can do that work unto God's glory. So it is good to seek and study and do all those things. It's what's the purpose of it? Is it the end to promote and get yourself ahead? Or is it for God's glory? So you can use these things for his glory. If he's called you to be a doctor, pour into that. Learn those things. Be wise in those things. Have that knowledge so that you can use that for God's glory. If he's called you to collect garbage, probably don't have to learn too much, but what you have to learn, pour into that. Do that for God's glory. You know how thankful we should be to the garbage collectors? We should hold a parade for them. Imagine if we didn't have that. I've seen some countries where they don't have garbage collectors, and it's gross. Just flat out. I mean, gross. Why would you want to live that way? But we should do these things for God's glory, that he's glorified. We should seek these things out. Oh, Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? If you remember, after Jesus rose, Peter decided to go fishing again. He wasn't supposed to go fishing, but he goes anyways. They toil all night long. They don't catch anything. And then there's Jesus walking on the beach, and he says, hey, throw the net on the other side. The biggest haul that they've ever seen. And how many people would be tempted with the idea that, wow, God must have blessed me with all this riches of fish. I should continue doing this. Thinking or mistaking that blessing is only centered around money. It's not. Jesus calling out Peter, do you love me more than these? Was he pointing at the fish? Maybe. Do you love me more than all the success and riches maybe you could have to follow me? Because the Lord will take care of us. If you love me, Jesus says, you will obey me. Do the things. His work is honorable. Verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. What is that work? His work. Because we went from works to work, and I just simply say, look to the cross. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. Aren't you thankful for that? That you don't have to worry about losing righteousness? That one day maybe he'll take it back? Ah, done deal. Beautiful thing. Verse 4, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. So whoever came up with the idea that there's an Old Testament God who's mean and angry and grumpy and wants to do nothing but beat people around is a liar and was listening to the father of lies. Because there's no such thing as the Old Testament God and the New Testament God who's fluffy and nice and just doesn't care about what people do. No. Here we have in the Old Testament, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Plenty of verses about how great and awesome, loving God is. He has made his works to be remembered, and how easy are they to remember when you've been seeking them out? So much easier, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to have those things that you know, and you're like, hey, I was reading that the other day. Just this morning in reading Wisdom for Today, if you have that devotional, I read it and it's like, no way, how did that happen? Because it's about praise. It's like, wow, God's pretty cool. That he would have that ready. And to read that and be like, oh, Lord, you're so good. So amazing. You know, the focus was on in Acts when Paul and Silas are jailed. What did they have to do when all seemed lost and their backs were beaten and seemed like everything was done for? They praised the Lord. Well, what else are we going to do? Well, let's praise him. All right, then. And then you know what happens next. Amazing. Now, how important is it to remember these wonderful works in times of good? Because how easy is it to forget in times of good? How quick are we to think of the Lord in times of good? Or in times of bad? How great to remember how good he is and where he's rescued us and what he's done. Oh yeah, I remember the Lord doing this at this time in my life. Having those markers in our own lives to be able to go back and look. Look what God did here and how he took care of me here. And now I can trust that he's going to take care of me now and in the future. How refreshing it is when familiar verses come up or familiar chapters or books or just, wow, thank you, Lord. You know, Bible study number one, if you've ever been through discipleship here, going through what it is to for the gospel. The first time, you know, went through it, it's like, oh, that's cool. And then the next time, the temptation, you know, going with someone was, oh, I'll just pull the old one I did off. Convenient, easy, I already did it, so don't have to think about it. You know, I've got it down, so I'm good. But the Lord's like, why would you do that? Because it's easy, I already did it. Do it again. All right, I'll do it again. But the true refreshment that comes is like, oh, wow, thanks, Lord. And there I was just going to bypass it because I think I already did it, I already had it, I already knew it. And now how much more refreshing it is. Hey, let's go through Bible study number one again. All right, then. Look at what his word says. Wow, it's amazing. We should be refreshed in those things, not, I read that 1,000 times already. Good, read it 1,001 times. It's great. It's wonderful to know that this never changes. You know, sometimes coming to the book of Judges, I always think, maybe this time they'll do it better. But we know the word. But just that hope. But we get to have those things so that we can do it better, because we don't have to make the same mistakes. So, he hath given meat, and we won't take that long in every single verse, so we got really two more verses to get through. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. How great is that? We can be so unmindful of things. We can be so forgetful of things. We can just dismiss things. But God, ever mindful of his covenant. Thank you, Lord. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So verse 10, I break that down, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Might have read something similar this morning, Proverbs 1. Now, it's not exact because Proverbs 1 says the fear of the Lord is knowledge. Proverbs 9 speaks about the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and also the psalm right here. Really just believing God means what he says and says what he means. What if we just apply that as we read the Bible? He says, praise ye the Lord. I say, I will praise the Lord. Hearing his word, doing his word, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Now Jesus spoke of that, right? The wise man is the one that hears his word and does his word. He's the one that's like the man who builds his house upon the rock. The storm comes, the house remains. Now the foolish man, what's he do? He hears the word, kind of like reading and not really taking it in. Yikes. Hears the word but doesn't do it. Building the house on the sand. Great was its fall. Psalms 119:34 says, give me understanding and thou shalt keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I want to back up to verse 9. We'll end with this verse here. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever, holy and reverend is his name. So redemption, as from this psalm, as we look back, that redemption out of slavery in Egypt, right? Redeemed him out of there. Baptized him, if you will, through the Red Sea. Time in the wilderness. Into the promised land. That work of redemption. Now for us, we get to see redemption through the cross, right? Not a temporary, but the final. Redemption through the cross. Holy and reverend is his name. His name is the only name that saves, right? Jesus. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. This wonderful work of redemption. Now, if we take verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. What if we apply that to Jesus? Did Jesus seek out? While we were like sheep gone astray, we turned everyone to his own way. What did Jesus do? The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Willingly left the 99 to find the one, right? Aren't you glad to be that one? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The works of his hand, as he's created every one of us. And we had all gone astray, lost. And yet he willingly sought out for the pleasure therein. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. How far away can you get? That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Does Jesus seek out? Didn't he seek you out? He sought me out. That pleasure therein. John 8:29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. How are we pleasing the Lord? Are we making it our aim to be well-pleasing unto him? Jesus sought out. Amazing. Now, Psalm 119, and we referred to that a few times. Such an amazing psalm. The love for God's word. I will do your word, Lord. Teach me your ways. Just so rich. You can see David's heart in there. Just loves the Lord. Because he knows how good he is and what he has. And the last time I went through this, I think it's 3 weeks ago. But came to a verse that, for whatever reason, you know, never really struck. It was the last verse. It was probably because you're like, oh, wow, that's such a long psalm, and finally got through. Didn't really pay attention to it that well. But this time, now I'm going to do the whole 8 verses, because I think it goes together, and it goes together with what we've been looking at. So, verse 169 to 176. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Wow. After all that love for the Lord and his word and his truth, what does David still cry out? Lord, when I have gone astray like that lost sheep, come and get me. Does Jesus seek out? He sure does. Is the game of life more important to you than the life of Christ Jesus in you? That game of life, all the distractions, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the things that we can get distracted with, focused on, you name it. Is that the more important thing, or is the life of Christ in you the more important thing? So if we consider, you know, if we find ourselves self-centered, complaining, dissatisfied, seeking escape, thinking that this life in Christ Jesus isn't attainable, I simply say, start applying this very simple command that God gives. Praise ye the Lord. How do you receive his word? And what are you doing with it? Now, praise ye the Lord. Think of it as a seed. Jesus said, like a sower that goes out to sow, right? Scatters the seed. The word of God is the seed. Or the seed is the word of God in that parable. When you receive this seed, praise ye the Lord. How is your heart? Is it hard? Is it shallow? Is it thorny? Or is it good? And then this word can produce much fruit. A life of praise to him. So praise ye the Lord. How do you receive his word? And what are you doing with it? Will you live a life of praise to him? So as we finish with a song of praise, I think, right? And not just found in the song, and don't just yell or scream louder because you think that's what you have to do now. But no. Just simply answer that call. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart because he's worthy of it. And live a life of praise. Put that into everything that you do and give him glory. And so, why don't we stand, shake out the legs, raise your hands, you know, kind of get the praise juices flowing, right? Well, let's give him glory. So, Father, thank you so much. Lord, your love is so astounding and amazing. Lord, that you truly would willingly seek each and every one of us out. Lord, we know in the depths of our own hearts, Lord, how wicked and foul and disgusting we truly are. But Lord, while we were those enemies, you died for us. Lord, you willingly exchanged your righteousness for our unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we want to end and just lift our hands high to you, give you the praise and the glory that's due you, Lord, and thank you. Lord, for those that have found themselves, Lord, excited. Hey, I'm already doing this, Lord. Praise the Lord. Just, Lord, that excitement would continue. Or those that maybe found themselves like, whoa, where is my heart? Lord, just that simple repentance, Lord, thank you. Lord, as you know their hearts, and Lord, you're the changer, and Lord, that this last song, Lord, for this morning, Lord, wouldn't be the last song of our lives, but Lord, our lives would be a life of praise unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.